this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We've refused to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you right now, Lord, asking that you would give us understanding of your word, that we would be able to clearly understand, to receive, and to apply the truth, your word, to our lives, to your glory. I pray that you would strengthen the inner man, that we would be confident and bold, Lord, not only to do away with those things which are shameful, Father, but to stand in the truth and continue to advance, Lord, to your glory, the gospel of Jesus Christ. To not hold back, to not draw our hand back from the work that you have for us to do. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves into your care right now. We ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, and we commit this time into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so preach it. Preach it is the title of this morning's message. But when you hear that, those words, preach it, what kind of thoughts go through your mind? Preach it. Yeah, but what, I mean, okay, so let me ask you this. How do you think the world receives those two words? Defensive, yeah. Negative, judgmental, yeah. Punchline, questionable, yeah, all of those things. And this is what the world has in mind, you know. In fact, you know, the word tells us, preach it. And the word says, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. In fact, that's the way a lot of people start out, like on talk show hosts and people who are entertaining, start out by saying, yeah, I'm not going to preach to you. But then it's pretty interesting because in the same breath, they give you their opinion and they tell you how it is that you should think and act. Like, wait a minute, you're just preaching to me. That's what you're doing. You're proclaiming what it is that you believe I should believe and work out in my own life. So, the Apostle Paul knew exactly the message that he had been entrusted with. And what we need to understand is the message in what we have been entrusted with. We are and have been entrusted with being ministers and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are ministers of this message of reconciliation. And so what we read there, and going back, in fact, to a couple weeks ago, as we wrapped up in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, there are certain things that we were coming to know, to understand, right? Know what you have in Christ is what the whole theme for chapter 3 was. The sufficiency of Christ, the ministry of the Spirit, and the transforming power of the Lord. And with this, you will be able to endure anything that you come to experience in your life. That was the encouragement that was given to us through chapter 3. There was nothing, in fact, that was stopping the Apostle Paul. We know that because we have the whole story in front of us. We know how how Saul of Tarsus became Paul, who was a man that was just on fire for the Lord. There was nothing that was stopping him. He is the bulldog of Christianity. And no matter what he experienced, he endured and he continued to persevere and persevere in all the way. And he did everything that the Lord said he was setting him out to do. He was going to speak to the Jews. He was going to speak to the Gentiles. He was going to speak to the kings. And he was going to experience much suffering for the sake of the gospel. And he did it. And so this was a man who was writing to the Corinthians with what he himself was willing to do. And I was praying, I was hoping that the same knowledge was there to serve you, to strengthen you, and also for you to allow the Lord to continue doing that sanctifying work in your life. Thank God for his patience. He does this sanctifying work to where he's continually refining us, strengthening us, and sometimes just sifting in ways that isn't too pleasurable, but it is necessary for our benefit and to his glory. And that is where we left off in chapter 3. Today we have what you can consider to be what should be the result of knowing what you have in Christ. Chapter 4 begins with this one word, which is very important. When you see therefore, you want to make sure that you include what came before that word. And then look at what comes after. Okay? Therefore is the one word that connects chapter 3 with chapter 4. Means for that reason, as a result of, consequently. Here we come to. So what was written in chapter 3 is why what Paul writes in chapter 4 is its logical conclusion or what it should result in. And there's no way that you can separate one from the other. You have to bring it all together. Knowing what you have in Christ, the Apostle Paul was writing, should result in, number one, not losing heart. Any of you sometimes just lose heart? You become discouraged, dismayed somewhat? You know, I think everyone experiences that. And so we look at the word, here it is. The Apostle Paul is writing, hey, this is what it should result in. Don't lose heart. Number two, renouncing, that is abandoning, rejecting, resigning disgraceful, underhanded ways. That's what it should result in. Thirdly, refusing to practice cunning or tampering with God's word. That's what it should result in. And fourthly, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience in light of our actions and proclamation of the gospel by the open and clear truth of God's word. We'll explain exactly what that means as we break it down. And therefore, we continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ courageously with personal integrity, personal wholeness, purity. And the question is, what if people don't listen? You know, when you first came to the Lord, didn't you think, hey, I got it. I cannot believe that God is so compassionate, that he has shown me his love. He's demonstrated that grace through his son, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell the world. And then you start telling the world, and what happens? The world doesn't receive it, right? There may be some, but there's a lot of rejection. So what if people don't listen? Here's another question. Why don't they listen? And in light of that, should we change the gospel to make sure we, quote unquote, appeal to all people and reach all people? Those are all good questions, and those are important questions. And let me tell you this, the Bible has the answers for those questions. We're going to look at them this morning. The gospel is the good news of salvation made available through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins and being made new in him, and being promised entrance into heaven through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He identifies with and refers to himself as the door. There is no other door. There is no other way. That is the most loving thing that you can tell someone. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It also involves repentance, though. Turning from those things that are shameful to God, that offend God. But it also includes that. And that is evidence of putting away those shameful things. And this is what Paul refers to as the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're going to get to, verses 18 and 19. That is what we've been entrusted with. And so in verse 1, it says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, even looking at those words, we need to understand what it is that we truly have in our possession. Because this work, let me tell you what a minister is. You know what the word means? It means to serve. That's not to be served, but to serve. And so as we're giving this opportunity to minister, to serve, it is by God's grace, by His mercy. It is His favor. It's a humble opportunity to serve Him as His representative, His ambassador, you can say, His representative, an instrument by which this good news can go out to the world. He can do it by any other way, but He has chosen you and I to do that very work, to serve Him. And in so serving Him, we are serving other people. That's what we have been entrusted with. And let me tell you, that's as you consider that, as you understand that, it's very humbling. And we should recognize that just as the Apostle Paul did. He started out by saying those words before he went into anything else. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God. And as the psalmist does oftentimes, pause, Selah, think about it. And then when you do consider, when you do understand that, then we can move on. And because you know what you have in Christ, number one, do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged. Because of God's promises and the good news we've come to know personally and believe them to be true. You know, I asked a little while ago, how many of you have gotten discouraged, have felt just maybe overwhelmed, drawn back? And I think we've all experienced those feelings. You might be feeling that right now, a bit down, a bit dismayed. Let me tell you that as we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, we should really only have to look this far to be encouraged. If you're in a pit, even right now, at any time, if you seem somewhat overwhelmed and burdened, open up the Word of God, ask Him to speak to you, and He will. Oftentimes, the reason why we stay where we are is because we fail to do the very thing that God has called us to do. Draw close to Him. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. How is it that we draw near to Him? By staying away from church, being holed up in our homes and drawing away from everyone else? No, not at all. It's the number one, continue in fellowship with Him. And number two, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but doing even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. We live in some pretty crazy times, don't we? Open up the Word of God. Because really the only thing that it should really take for us to get out of a pit of discouragement is to read God's Word and believe. Exercise that faith, that small measure of faith that God has given to us. Exercise it. And because we trust His Word to be what He says it is, we are revived in our courage and boldness in the good news. That really should be it. If you're downcast, remember that God is our comforter. But God who comforts the downcast, we went over that, or we will be going forward to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. That's just one verse in regards to Him being the comforter. If you're discouraged or dismayed, that is shocked, shaken up, taken back, thrown off balance, remember this. All of that requires there's some movement to you, and We're in football season right now. Sometimes it doesn't take much for someone to be thrown off balance, right? To be pushed a little bit, especially if they're one of the weaker football players and they're running by and you have someone just a little nudge and it throws them off balance. That's what it means to be dismayed in the spirit, to be thrown off balance. But someone who perseveres, someone who endures, will pop right back up and continue to move forward. So if you feel that way, like off balance, remember this. Fear not, God says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. I love that because you can always go to God's word and understand who you have in Christ. All of those things. Remember, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. We need that. When someone posts a verse on social media, I oftentimes see someone else comment. What do you see? Oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Exactly what you needed to hear. The only reason why you needed to hear it was because of what you're experiencing at the moment. And then you see this verse and you're reminded. You're reminded of God's promises. You're reminded of God's love. You're reminded of his compassion. You're reminded of who he is in your life. And the only reason it's something that you needed to hear was because it ministered to you, because you believe it. That's why you wouldn't put, it's exactly what I needed to hear, if you didn't believe it. If you didn't believe it, you'd be looking at it and go, yeah, okay. But a lot of people, that's how they're ministered to. That's why when you're reading the Word of God, it's amazing. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? That's what the Word is. And as you're reading through, and there are certain things that you're going through in your life, you read something, like, wow, I never saw that before. It's the very thing you needed to come to understand at that moment. Ministering to you. But this is just not speaking of feeling of being discouraged or downcast, but of drawing back as well. Do not lose heart, because you draw back many times because of a cowardice way of thinking that we allow to surface that is a result of bad thinking, which results in bad behavior and overall evil conduct. There's no gray area. It's either good behavior or it's bad behavior. It's either good or it's evil. What you allow into your mind will determine the condition of your thoughts. Samuel Smiles says this, quote, and you may have heard this before, sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. People can be cowardly because of what they continually allow themselves to think, believe, and eventually cowardice comes to the surface, is revealed in what they do and do not do. What you do and do not do. You take the path of least resistance, kind of neglect those things which are a little bit more difficult to do. Why? Because we're not exercising courage. That's why. When you're confronted with something that perhaps has been an offense to God, taking the path of least resistance is ignoring and continuing to move forward. But that's cowardly. We need to respond accordingly and understand God's grace. We need to protect our minds and what we think about. Good action tomorrow must be predetermined by what we come to know, think, and believe today. Again, you want tomorrow to be different than today? Then that all needs to be predetermined by what we come to know, think, and believe today. What are you doing today to change the way you're thinking? in Christ, understanding who he is, the ministry that we have been entrusted with, moving forward, how it is, what is tomorrow going to look like? When the Apostle Paul said, I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I love that verse. Because what he was saying was that he was predetermining that he will not dwell in people's sins and participate in things that appeal to the world. But he simply came proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in plain speech of God's wisdom so that the people's faith would not rest in wisdom, the wisdom of the world, but in the power of God. And he said, I'm not going to get wrapped up in it all. I understand it. We're going to address these issues. But I'm not going to like just dwell on those things because I want to point you to the cross. That's where the power is. Understand the power of God. Understand that applying God's truth will overcome all of these things, living them out. But discouragement and being downcast is the negative of what is to be emphasized here. And cowardice is what Paul said we ought not to give into because of what we know in Christ. Rather, we are to be courageous in the ministry of reconciliation, as I've been saying, that which we've been entrusted with. Because it takes courage to do the following things. It says here, to renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. It takes courage to refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. It takes courage. First of all, to renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways is to abandon using methods of manipulation to persuade and openly preach a shameless message of reconciliation. The whole thing. Thirdly, to refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word means that you don't mix the gospel message of salvation with human ingenuity. In other words, cleverness. Worldly cleverness. It means we don't water down the gospel to accommodate our audience. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, don't capitulate. Don't surrender to the likes and dislikes of people and select only the portions of the gospel that you think they'll receive and neglect those that you think maybe they won't receive. I can tell you the only way that you're going to stand with a clear conscience before God is if you give the whole counsel of God. You give the gospel in its entirety. It's the only way. C.H. Spurgeon said this, quote, certain divines tell us that they must adapt truth to advance of the age, to the advance of the age, which means that they must murder it and fling its dead body to the dogs, which simply means that a popular lie shall take the place of an offensive truth. Close quote. You know, like adapting the truth. Adapting the truth to today's times. Like, no, the times need to adapt to the truth. That's the way it should be. I'm telling you, I was smack dab in the middle of the world. It's not that the truth adapted to me and justified what I was doing. I'm the one that had to repent and adapt to the truth. That's the way it works. Being willing to adopt any method by which it seems that people would be more willing to accept the truth is, in the end, this one thing. It's called trickery and a mistrust of the true power of God, his word, and the power of the Spirit to do a work. I have full confidence that as I simply go through the word of God, that it's ministering to each and every one of you. That the word of God that tells me that the Spirit gives understanding to the hearer is doing that exact thing. It's giving you an understanding of the word of God in your life. I don't need to manipulate this. I don't need to change it up. I don't have to do anything. In fact, it's this that does the work. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a delivery boy bringing the word to you. That's all I'm doing. And then the other thing that takes courage is commending ourselves in verse 2. And that's what the Apostle Paul was referring to. Commending ourselves to everyone's conscience in light of our actions and proclamation of the gospel by the open and clear truth of God's word. Which means this. That we present ourselves to others for approval and acceptance in that, whether they agree or not, we are speaking the truth wholly and completely. If someone were to examine you, in other words, okay, so you've been working with someone for a long time. They've been observing you. They've been hearing what you say. And then they come. Let's say they're invited by someone else and they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They come to surrender their lives to the Lord. They've repented of their sins and they've completely given themselves to the Lord. And then they go back to work and they tell you, hey, Raul, I gave my life to the Lord. I am so overjoyed. He has taken away all my burdens. And now I desire above all else to walk with him and to bring him glory and to just please him. And I'm reading his word. Does that bring fear into your life? Or would that be like, right on, keep going? The reason why I say that is because now they're opening up the word too. And if by the examination of the word, and they consider your life, would that be encouraging, or would it match up with the word of God, or would it not match up? In other words, would that same person go, wow, I actually looked up to you. And now I see that you've been off. You're not matching up with what you say you believe. This is, you know, as you have openly presented yourself, you know, to those around you for an open examination, if you will. Is that matching up? And the Apostle Paul says, hey, that takes courage. For someone to say, here's my life. I'm submitting myself to you for your examination. Not that I may find approval by you, but that you would actually approve, whether you believe it or not, whether you agree or not. If someone were to open up the Word of God and look at your life, does it match up? Yeah, the Apostle Paul's life matches up. Whether you agree with him or not, it matches up to what he says he believes. That takes courage. There is integrity before man, but what matters most is that there is integrity before God. R. Kent Hughes says this, quote, there is a higher scrutiny than that of the human conscience. It is to God that every minister of the gospel is ultimately and eternally answerable. So we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ courageously, boldly, and with integrity. And without lights. But what if what we've been doing is not working? What if it's not working? You ever thought, man, maybe I should change the way I'm doing things. What I'm saying, the way I'm saying it. What if people don't listen? Why don't they listen? Should we change the gospel to make sure we appeal, quote unquote, to all people and reach all people? Careful that you don't use cunning or craftiness or diluting the gospel in order to reach the world for Jesus Christ. But why don't more people receive the truth of salvation found in Jesus Christ? Can't we do something about that so that they will see and understand the good news? We're so eager for that. Yes, we desire, just as God desires. God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But is that going to happen? Is that up to us? Was it up to other people, whether we believed or not believed? No, it wasn't. Nobody forced us, right? What we need to understand is what the Bible says about this. Not our opinion, but again, God's truth about it. Verses 3 through 5 gives us the answer to these questions. Let's look at them again. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So that's where the answer lies. If you tell someone about Jesus Christ and how salvation has been made possible and made available to all mankind by grace through faith by God in Jesus Christ, and they do not see it, they don't understand it, then it is for the following reasons. Number one, the gospel, as the word tells us here, the gospel is not visible to those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. They're blinded. They don't see it. In fact, while the apostle Paul, or Saul at the time, was perishing, he was in sin, he was very religious, and he was very zealous, but he wasn't in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He could not see who he was, who Jesus Christ was, nor did he know salvation. But when Paul cried out to Jesus as Lord, he was able to see as he surrendered and come to understand that salvation has come. The Savior of the world was indeed before him. What happened to Paul physically was true spiritually, in that once he came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as Lord, the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see. It's amazing when we come to fully surrender to Jesus Christ, how it is that those scales fall from our spiritual eyes and we're able to see who God is through Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said this, quote, "The blindness of unbelievers in no way detracts from the clearness of the gospel, for the sun is no less resplendent because the blind do not perceive its light," close quote. Think about that for a moment. The blind say there is no sun. Does that make it true? The answer is, of course, no. The blind will say, there is no God. Is that true? Just because they said, no, it's not true. Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. They don't see it. They haven't come to understand it. Does that make it true? No, then don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Understand the Word of God. Apply its truth. Receive it unto yourself. May it serve to strengthen you and encourage you and lift you up and continue to move you forward. Secondly, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. But this is not to say that people are victims of being blinded by Satan, and therefore they should not be held accountable because they have no choice. They're just victims. That victim mentality. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, openly, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." John 3:19 and 20 says, "And this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light." Why? "Lest his works should be exposed for what they are." 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 10 says, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." Because refusal, rejection, ignoring, turning away. In each case, it's a deliberate act of the will of man that blinds him to the truth and salvation. And I knew there was a moment in my life to where I had backslidden. I was in the world that to proclaim Jesus as Lord of my life meant that I was going to have to renounce, abandon, reject, resign all of my disgraceful, underhanded ways and refuse to practice cunning or tampering with God's word. The very thing that we have in front of us. Manipulating it all to fit my sin. And you can be sure that the god of this world, Satan himself, was encouraging me to stay in that place of ineffectiveness in Christ. I know that I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in July of 1992. And it was a couple years later to where I found myself turning my back on the Lord and walking away from Him. He let me go. He let me walk. But there was a certain point where He had me on my back, and I knew. And I knew what I had to do. I had to repent of my sin. I had to completely turn to Him, and I knew it. And I was fighting it. I was fighting it because I loved my sin at the time, and He would not leave me alone. You see, God can cut through any blindness, any walls that are erected, built up, any sin that is loved. His love can uncover, break down, and show us what true love is. Notice here that He hits the minds, the God of this world, small g, what He hits is the minds of the unbelievers that are out in the world. That's what's attacked by Satan. That's what's targeted, is our minds. What is that? Our thoughts. We must submit our thoughts to the Lord. Because if Satan can convince you to think less and learn less, then he has you exactly where he wants you. Think less, learn less. Don't open up your Bible. Spend weeks without looking at the Word of God. Yeah, just see how that works out for you. Satan will say, that's exactly where I want you to be, ineffective. I want you to think less. Hey, just go with your heart. Yeah, whatever makes you happy. Right? The wisdom of the world. That's the wisdom of the world. But God gave us His Word to know the truth, and the truth will truly, sincerely, genuinely set you free. The Bible says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling or dividing the word of truth. And in Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You may be able to discern those things. David Guzik says this, quote, if you are tired of having your mind blinded by the god of this age, then put your trust on who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Then Satan can't blind you anymore. I love that. You know, you think you're not a puppet in his hands? And let me tell you, you are. He is manipulating you. He is pulling all of the strings. And he'll keep you there. But his purpose is to destroy you, to kill you. And what happens when you come to believe is that you see where you are standing and in what direction you are going, eternally speaking. And in your earthly life, you will find real purpose. What's the purpose of life? It's all in here. It's to bring glory to God. He gives you instructions on how to walk rightly before the Lord. Psalm 119:105, I love it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I always say, you know, he shows you where you're standing. It's like as soon as you look down and the word of God lights where you're standing, like, oh, that's not the direction I should be going in. That's one thing that it does. Then you turn. So then it's a light to your path. It lights the path. That's what it does. That's what the word of God does. He also talks about not preaching himself. The Apostle Paul was saying, we don't preach ourselves. It's not that the purpose here is not to bring you into moral correctedness. It's not to serve as some feel-good message to where you come to do just the right things for the sake of doing the right things so that the world would be a better place to live in. We would all be at peace and we could all just be united in good moral activity. That's not. That's preaching man. Once you have Christ, once you understand how it is that he loved us, you will begin to be transformed into the image of God. And you will live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, and in so doing, you will live these lives that are a blessing to those around you. And so the Apostle Paul, he wasn't preaching himself. He wasn't some charlatan that was selling the message. He was preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2? "For I desire to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's who I preach. Just Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Know that. That's where the power is. It's in the cross. It's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it is the way by which light has shone to all mankind. And this light is to shine from the life of one who has received this light, the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, so that others may come to know who He is and find salvation through Him. The light that you have come to know, the truth, salvation, God's glory, hope, is not to be hoarded. It's not to be kept within the person, or it is no light at all, of no benefit to anyone. But it is to shine forth from you to others. By this, all men will know that you are My disciples, by the love that you have for one another. It radiates from you. It's expressed. It's lived out. You are to be willing to reflect the glory of God toward others, that they may come to know salvation and walk in the truth also, God's wisdom, have true joy, hope, peace. All of those things will be possessed by the one who possesses the one, Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was saying. Be encouraged by this. Know what you have. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Move forward. So in conclusion, these are the don'ts. Don't lose heart. Don't be deceitful or sly or dishonest. Don't dilute the gospel. Do be courageous in Christ. Have personal integrity. Tell others about salvation in Christ. That is forgiveness, hope, grace, love, mercy, all of those things. Tell other people about. Do that. Go out and do that. And then bring them into the fellowship. This is where we enjoy this. And we celebrate. And thirdly, understand why people don't see Jesus for who He is. And know that the love of God can break down any barrier. Just as it was broken down in your life, it can be broken down in the life of someone else if they know the whole truth. Give it to them in its entirety. So what do we do? As the world says, hey, don't preach to me. The Word of God tells us, God Himself is telling us, preach it. Preach it by example and in word. Do it. May it all match up. May you be courageous in the Lord. If you're here this morning and you don't know the love of Christ, if you don't understand forgiveness, the forgiveness of the Father through the Son, if you don't understand a relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you this morning, number one, you need to repent of your sins, which means you acknowledge that your sins have separated you from the Father. So you repent of that, and you confess them before the Lord. You ask for forgiveness. And you call on the Lord, and you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And He will. If you do that, the Word tells us that you will know salvation. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that. May today be the day of salvation for you. And if there's anyone who has any questions in regards to that, or just need some prayer, I encourage you, come up. I'm up here, my wife's up here, and we have the elders that come up. We're here available for you for any need that you have. I ask that you would use us and come, and we would love to pray with you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I pray that we are strengthened, Lord, and that we are encouraged, stirred up, Lord, that we would understand what we possess in you, this ministry of reconciliation that we are to be good stewards of. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to, Lord, apply these truths to our lives, to your glory. And I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today be the day in which they surrender all to you. They come to know you, Lord Jesus, as the way by which they know relationship with you, the Father. And so, Father, we commit the rest of this day into your hands, Lord. We ask your blessing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.